Welcome back to Pillar of Truth. We've previously aired a series of messages on Jesus' teaching about hypocrisy called Tearing the Mask Off Hypocrisy. If you missed those, I'd encourage you to visit our website, pillaroftruthradio.com, and listen to them. Because today, in our new series called Christ, the Coronavirus, and the Cross, Travis is going to show us how God has used the coronavirus and the pandemic to expose some hypocrisy in many churches, testing the genuineness of those who profess faith in Christ. Our sovereign God continues to fulfill His promise to use all things for the good of His people to the praise of His glory through this pandemic. Today you'll hear how, through this virus and its effects, God is exposing false faith and false churches. False faith really is hypocritical faith. It is believing one thing but saying and living another. And COVID has revealed much hypocrisy in our churches and in those who proclaim Christ as Lord but do not obey His teaching when circumstances begin to make it more difficult. God is using a virus to purify true believers and churches, those who believe in God and obey Him. As you listen today, examine yourself and maybe even the teaching at your church. Does what you say and how you live match what you believe in your heart? Do your church leaders preach truth, or are they presenting a false gospel that only gives a false hope for this life? If you have asked yourself what God is doing when it comes to this virus that has affected the whole world, today will help you to see the power and goodness of God through it. In Amos 3:6, we're reminded, does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? What is God doing through this disaster that He has brought about? Let's listen in and find out.
The Bible describes a God who is both transcendent, high and lofty and on His throne, never changing, always consistent, faithful, perfect, eternal, infinite. At the same time, that God is imminent and He is near. And that God visits every single land with its own particular trials, judgments, challenges, graces. Our God is a God who is both far and near. He is transcendent and He is imminent. And our God rules and reigns not just over His chosen people Israel from back in the Old Testament, but every single nation on the earth at that time and every time since. God has direct involvement in every nation on the earth and every single human being. So don't think of Him as remote and uninvolved. Don't think of Him as watching as something He didn't plan take effect. Also, I want to caution you not to recoil from the fact that Christ is sovereign over the coronavirus. I don't want you to back away from the thought that Christ sovereignly directs the spread of the coronavirus, its effects, all the reactions to this disease. Don't draw back from the truth that He planned it, that He ordained it, that He has executed this trial according to His perfect will and for all of His purposes. Because, beloved, if you think that somebody else or just a virus itself with its own thinking is in control, and Christ is not control, you are severely mistaken. There is no hope if Christ is not sovereign over this virus. Beloved, there is no other Savior. There is none. So don't withdraw from the truth of His sovereignty. If you pull away from the sovereignty of God, that He's in control, that He planned this, that He's in charge, that He controls every single instance of spread, if you pull away from that, you wander into a hopeless abyss. The fact that we have a God who is sovereign and in control, though it's difficult to bear, though the affliction is troubling, you need to embrace that because that God is our Savior. And if we embrace the fact that He's sovereign over the coronavirus, sovereign over this time, sovereign over the reactions, counter-reactions, and all the rest, if we embrace that fact, then we need to step back and think and learn from what He wants to teach to all of us. We asked first, what is Christ doing with the coronavirus in the world? Now, second, we need to ask an even more uncomfortable question. What is Christ doing with the coronavirus in the visible, the professing church? Answer, Christ is exposing the professing church. I want to be crystal clear with what I'm saying here. Christ is exposing the professing church. By that I mean, He is showing many of the visible professing churches and many of the visible professing believers to be frauds, having no part in Him. And I understand and I do recognize, and I want to say this right from the front lest I forget to say it later, that in the visible professing church, as weak as they are, as drifting as they are, in some of those communions, I acknowledge there are true believers. If there is the means to find a true gospel through the scripture, in a Trinitarian religion, even Roman Catholicism or some other form of Arminian theology church. I understand that there are true believers in those, but I want to say this very clearly. If you're a believer and you're in one of those churches and communions, you need to come out. You need to come out of what is weak and what is really false. I want you to listen to this. You can turn there if you'd like to. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 10 and following. And this is what the word of the Lord is through the prophet Isaiah to the false professors, false believers in that time. Isaiah 1, 10 and following. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, wasn't that a bunch of reveling partiers and homosexual offenders and unrighteous and uncaring and unloving people? When the city full of that, why is he calling the people of Israel, the people of Judah, why is he calling them rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because their sins are the same. And so he says in verse 11, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams, the fat of well-fed beasts. I don't delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who's required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Don't hold the two together and come before me, he says. Verse 14, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, that is for prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Who is the Lord speaking to in that passage? All those who claim that he is their God. All those who profess that Yahweh is their God, but they don't walk in obedience to him. They are lying hypocrites. They are false religionists. They say they are Christians, but they practice another religion entirely. And God is saying to them, you do not represent me. Stop taking my name upon your lips and coming to me with your sacrifices. Don't take my name in vain anymore. Who are they in our own day? Well, sadly, the world is full of them. False teachers abound. They have multiplied exponentially. They've been filling the airwaves and the internet with their poisonous teaching, and it infects so many of the poor and the needy with a virus of their own filthy greed. Worse in my mind are all the false shepherds out there who are speaking to all the false converts, those who have swallowed up a false sub-Christian gospel, who think they're Christians, but they're not, and they're these pastors are misrepresenting God, and they are undermining the faith of so many by mishandling the word of God and by sowing doubt. I heard one man say, he's known as a pastor, one man say in our city, he was speaking to his church of thousands through video, through this live stream like we're doing, and he was speaking as this coronavirus pandemic began, and he was teaching his own congregation that they should embrace the errors and the contradictions in Scripture, and then to love the Bible anyway. This man belched forth his own foul-smelling doubts, walking text by text, citing these as problem passages in the Bible, ones that he thinks embarrass Christians. They certainly embarrass him. He's trying to accommodate the world's unbelief because he's ashamed of the gospel. He's ashamed of the word of God, and he's trying to avoid ridicule by sounding cool and sophisticated. And in so doing, he is embraced irrationality, and he's leading many, many others to do the very same thing. Folks, you need to understand that judgment is coming upon men just like that. Judgment is coming, along with all the charlatans and hucksters and megachurch celebrities who are driven by greed and care nothing for the sheep. The only thing the sheep are good for is for their fleece, for their wool. They want to fleece the flock, put the money in their pockets, and go live large. They refuse to rightly divide the word of truth, lest that rightly divided word of truth turn and cut them. Jude says of them that these are hidden reefs in your love feast as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves. They're waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. They're wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. They're wandering stars, that is, you can never pin them down, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Judgment is coming, folks. And I say on this visible, false, professing church, I say let it come. May God use this coronavirus to shut the doors of false churches. We've had enough of that. Enough of people being led astray. Any true believers, like I said earlier, any true believers, those of you who may be tied into those false churches in some way, and maybe you're staying put because of comfort, because you really like the kids program, maybe it's because they've got great worship bands, or probably this, it's because of family ties, because of relationship. Whatever it is, listen, my believing brother, listen, my believing sister, get out of that false church. Come out from under that weak, insipid drivel that they call teaching and preaching. At the very best, you're getting a diet of sugar and mush. Much of it, though, is mixed with worldly poison, and the longer you stay there, the more intolerant you will become to the true truth of Scripture. As Paul says, and here he's quoting the words of the living God, "Go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Listen, do you fear the Lord or do you fear your family? Turn away from your family and get with the Lord and his people. Judgment is coming. Folks, this is the word of God to the transgressing world and the professing church. The false forms of visible religion that pawn themselves off as Christianity. Listen, repent, turn to Christ, and find forgiveness of your sins. Listen to the offer from the Lord himself, Isaiah 1:18. "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. Isn't that beautiful, that appeal? Come now, let us reason. I mean, is there any greater distance between God, the transcendent, sovereign one, and us little ants? He says, "Come now, I've put a mind of reason in you. I've created you in my image. Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall become like wool." How can God say that and still maintain his position as a just judge? Isn't he angry over every single infraction of his law? Yes, he is. Is it not the judge of all the earth that will do always what is right? So how can God be just if he justifies those who are ungodly? Doesn't that seem like a perversion of justice if he justifies those who are guilty of sin? How can he forgive sins? Transgressing world, my unbelieving friend, visible professing church, you who have been blinded by false religion for so long, listen to me. The reason God can forgive sin and still remain just and holy, the reason that he can justify you, calling you, declaring you righteous, even when you're not, is because God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sins, so that everyone who believes will not perish but have everlasting life. You know that verse, it's John 3:16, but let me read you the Old Testament. Isaiah says in that precious 53rd chapter that this Christ was despised and rejected by men. And make no mistake, he's being despised and rejected even to this day. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He is as of one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely, he has borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How can God be just and the justifier of the one who puts faith in Jesus Christ? Because every single, if you believe, if you repent, turn from your sins, put your faith in Jesus Christ, trust and obey him, he's taken all of your sin, every thought, word, and deed that is sinful against his law, every sin of commission, every sin of omission. He's taken everything, past, present, and future of yours. If you'll believe, if you'll repent, if you'll put faith and trust in Christ, he's taken that sin and he's placed it on his son and he's punished him instead of you. He was stricken, smitten, and forsaken for your sake. And then he's taken that perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, that perfect life he lived in obedience to every single jot and tittle of God's word, walking even to the obedience of the mind and the heart and the two commandments that sum up all the rest, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus fulfilled that perfectly. And he did it to please his Father because he loves his Father. And he did it to love you. Will you repent? Will you believe? Will you trust in the sacrifice for sins? Will you trust in the perfect righteousness of Christ that can be granted to you by faith? That's how God can be just, punishing every single sin, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ, showing him grace and mercy. So come to Christ, transgressing world. Come to Christ, you who profess faith in God, but you actually live by taking his name in vain. Escape the wrath to come by turning to him in faith and repentance, and you will find rest for your souls, even amid this silly little scourge called the coronavirus, the preview of a wrath to come. We want to speak thirdly and finally, I want to speak to the true church. I want to speak to you, Grace Church. We want to speak to any of you who are true believers in true churches. How is Christ using the coronavirus for us in the true and confessing church? Answer, Christ is purifying the confessing church. He's purifying us. He's bringing us through a period of difficulty, of chastisement, of discipline, that we might grow stronger through all of this. Even more than that, I wonder how many of us here in the true church, any true church, have really taken the gift of the Lord's table for granted as well. In 1 Corinthians 11, it's a text that we turn to often when we're celebrating communion to warn people not to take communion in an unworthy manner. You know that in that 11th chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the Lord punished some of those Corinthian believers for doing just that, for coming to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. He took away some of those believers in the Corinthian church. He took away their opportunity to approach his table by inflicting upon them an illness on some. And on some others, he even removed them from the fellowship through death. Folks, that's the practical reality of what has happened to all of us during this time, isn't it? Our Lord never stops building his church. But it does seem that every now and again, while he holds a trowel in one hand for mortar and brick, in the other hand, he's picked up a switch. He's administering a chastisement to the backsides of all of us. We know that when God plagued Egypt, executed judgment on its false gods, on all of its pomposity, its pride, its superpower status, all the rest, there were certain plagues that did not touch God's people who were living in Goshen. That's where the Israelites lived. He could do the same thing now, could he not? He could spare all true churches, spare them from any of the effects of this coronavirus. He has the power to design a judgment that inflicts suffering on the transgressing world and the false professing church, and then to spare all true churches of his. He could spare us if he wanted to. But here we are. We're enduring the same trials and afflictions along with everybody else. Very few of us have suffered to the point of shedding blood. We need to admit, this could be a lot worse, couldn't it? We've been spared the plagues of Egypt under the blood of the Passover lamb. We trust in the Lamb of God who was appointed to take away our sin. And so this is but a mere momentary light affliction, not full-on persecution, not bloodletting, not imprisonment, not the loss of property. So we need to stop and reflect as well, don't we? We need to consider what Christ wants us to learn here, to think about, and to confess any sin that we have and repent of it all. There are some among us, as with all true churches, who are tares among the wheat in a true church. Well, listen, you've had your warnings. But there are others. Maybe weak Christians, maybe mediocre Christians. Others who love this present world too much. Who love to drift in and out of the fellowship. Who stay on the fringes of the church. There are some who are too devoted to their businesses. To climbing the ladders of the world. To making money, to seeking the approval of others, to finding fame and everything else out there. There are others who love this world with its distractions and its entertainments, its travel opportunities, its pleasures. So, beloved Christian, examine your heart. Examine your own heart. See if there be in you any love for the old idols, any love for the false gods of this age. Throw them all away. Remember Israel? They came across the Jordan with Joshua. He entered into Jericho. Great defeat of Jericho. Success, victory. They went to Ai. And what had happened? One man and his family took one forbidden thing, hid it, and they tried to go forward pretending righteousness. Don't be that Achan in the camp. Don't be that one among your brothers and sisters in the church who's going to hide the silver mantle underneath your tent. Throw all your false gods away. Examine, take the light of Scripture and examine every corner and crevice of your heart and kill it all. Return to the fountain of living waters to find your soul's thirst quenched. Eat daily of that manna, feeding daily on the Word of God. Attend to the regular means of grace. But I just want to call all of us Christians to examine our hearts, to see as David called upon the Lord, examine me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Let there not be any sins within us, any love for those old idols like Rachel, who hid the gods of her family underneath her saddle and kept them because she wanted to carry that new religion into the new promised land. Let there not be in your heart any love for the old idols. Any of the false religion, any of the gods of this age, they're so enticing, so powerful, so attractive, and they come into your home through this. Throw them all away. I mean, keep your iPhone, but don't. Throw all the false gods away. Return to the fountain of living waters and drink deeply of him and quench your thirsty soul. Eat the bread that he has given from heaven. Christ in the Word, eat daily from him. Attend to the regular means of grace, the church, week by week and every time you can during the week. Come to this fellowship ordinance like the Lord's table. Don't despise the Lord's table. Don't despise the need to meet. Rather, rejoice in it. Celebrate in the regular means of grace. Celebrate in holiness and in purity and with a cheerful and grateful heart. Never grumble and complain against the Lord's gifts. So, beloved, as Christ swings the stick of the coronavirus, don't ever turn away from his loving lashes. Rather, cling to the rod of chastisement itself, kissing the nail-pierced hand of the Savior who wields the rod. For as God's children by faith, we don't look just to the rod. We look to what it produces, the peaceful fruit of righteousness in our lives. We look to the face of a loving Father who looks down at us and loves us and disciplines us for our good. We climb into his lap for fellowship. Beloved, let me tell you too, during this time, don't be anxious. Do not worry. Do not fret. That is another form of sin. Just keep trusting in him, keep obeying, and keep praying things like the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Pray that often. Pray it daily.
Well, thank you for joining us today as we finished up our short series called Christ, the Coronavirus, and the Cross. If you missed the first crucial broadcast on this topic, you can find this study and many more on our website, pillaroftruthradio.com. Please download it for free and share it with any friends who may need to hear it as well. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at letters@pillaroftruthradio.com or give us a call at 970-364-3643. Join us again next time. Listening just 30 minutes a day will help you to stand up and stand strong on Pillar of Truth.